Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here again from goldenblack.com, live in my office this time, not my car. I'll explain that later. But this is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast following Purdue's 58-54 Big Ten ACC Challenge loss at Miami. It is brought to you by our friends at Follett's Creek Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, the Charters Team Remaxability Plus, JFQ Lending, and Gridiron Metalworks. Please keep them in mind for whatever you need, ranging from food to money management to steel. Please keep all of them in mind. Also, buy a house from the Charters team. I'm in my office tonight, not my car, because I found it very, very valuable for me to have a box score in front of me when I do this. I normally haven't had that this season because printed box scores are very hard to come by these days, as you can imagine. So breaking protocol a little bit, not doing this in my car. I know that's very disappointing to not hear my turn signal, but hopefully I can produce a better product in my office than I could in my car. So here we go. We'll take a stab at it. Purdue loses 58-54 at Miami in one of the more maddening, you know, losses you will have seen from a Purdue perspective. There have been a number of them, one of which occurred a little more than a year ago at Marquette. Pretty much the exact same game. Purdue led big in the first half, played really, really well in the first half, and then completely curled up in a ball in the second. Couldn't score, and gradually Marquette, who wasn't a whole lot better, managed to creep past Purdue and steal that game on its home floor. This was a very similar outcome, although Miami was better in the second half than Marquette was in the second half last year, but Purdue played a pretty heavy hand in Miami being the better team after halftime. Purdue really lapped defensively after holding Miami to 14 first half points, doing an excellent job covering up its weaknesses against the dribble, doing an excellent job protecting the lane as it's its game plan. Tried to make Miami beat them with threes, couldn't do it. Miami was 1 of 17 in this game from three-point range. That should be good enough to win you the game. But Purdue really lapsed on defense in the second half. Purdue really lapsed on offense in the second half. Purdue's judgment really lapsed in the second half. Purdue made a lot of plays that you make when you get beat after you've been up big, whether it be turnovers that got Miami offense going the other way, whether it was playing for steals and giving up threes, whether it was fouling on a three-pointer at the end of the shot clock. What's frustrating about this from Purdue's perspective, among many things, and you'll have to watch Matt Painter's post-game press conference to kind of get a sense for the frustration involved in him with him after this one. I have covered him for a decade and a half, and I've heard him say everything he's ever going to say. I've heard every rant. I've heard every spiel. I've heard it all, and I have never heard him say, "I am frustrated," and he came very, very close to saying that when he called this a very frustrating loss. Part of the reason was that all of those guys who were part of that Marquette game a year ago, and this is me speaking here, this isn't him saying this explicitly, but all of those guys who were involved in that Marquette game last year, a lot of them were on the floor here tonight, and that's kind of where this needed to start. This wasn't a young team problem. The stuff that would have ushered Purdue through that second half after they were up almost 20 points at halftime, 32-14 to be exact, that had to come from your older guys. And I know Purdue has no seniors, but Purdue has a junior class here that has played a senior class's worth of basketball in their career. That poise, that decision-making, that competitiveness, all of that stuff has to start with them. And when you itemize some of the issues that plagued Purdue in the second half, the young guys were maybe a fraction of it. You know, I haven't completely compiled a scorecard on who to blame for everything, but the overlying point is that that's when you rely on your experience, because Purdue had to come out of that halftime locker room knowing that they couldn't let up, knowing that they couldn't sit there and play the scoreboard, run out the clock, not take anything for granted, things like that. And it looked like that's exactly what they did. And a few of them after the game kind of acknowledged it as much, that they got, quote, comfortable. And as that those were Eric Hunter's words, "We got comfortable." And then he said, "You can blame the older guys for that one." That's what's maddening about this, is those older guys played at Marquette last year. They know the deal. those older guys were part of a disappointing season last year that before it got cut short. They experienced all of those maddening losses last year. And from a team building, program building perspective, you need failure to beget success ultimately. You need people to learn from mistakes, learn from struggles, learn from adversity. And this was a golden opportunity for Purdue to do that. Purdue had everything going for it at halftime. They did not handle prosperity very well. And then when adversity hit, that's when, you know, things went sideways on Purdue. A very, very frustrating loss for Purdue. One that, you know, you've seen over time at Purdue. Oftentimes this has occurred. I think it just speaks to the importance, you know, of having veterans, having older teams, having toughness, having competitiveness. And, you know, I think this program in the last couple of years has lacked some of those things. And as I said in my rap video before, you know, Purdue fans are swooning over recruiting right now, as they should be, because Purdue is on its hottest streak of basketball recruiting of my frame of reference by a long shot. And it's only going to get better here probably in the next couple of weeks. Purdue is getting great players. They're getting great fits at Purdue. But what they have to be damn certain to be getting too in these guys, because they're all nice kids. They're all smart guys. They're all good people. They got to make sure at some point they get some killers too. They got to make sure they get... I'm not saying these guys aren't competitive. I have no idea. They haven't played college basketball games yet. But it is crucially important that you have competitors, you have killers, and you have guys who are going to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done, you know, in these college basketball games. Purdue, again, is getting great players, very good kids, competitive kids. But I think when you watch this game tonight, and when you watch Purdue all season last year, you saw a distinct lack of a killer mentality, whatever cliche, whatever sports talk radio tired trope you want to use. Purdue lacked it, and, you know, Purdue needed it tonight, and they had a chance to show they had it, and they did not have it. The one guy, I watched that game, and I said, hey, that guy's competing like crazy, it was Mason Gillis. And if it were me, Mason Gillis would be starting the next game for Purdue. Brandon Newman is a big-time competitor. Those guys, you know, are important in that sense, but it's got to come from the top too. It's got to come from those upperclassmen. I don't want to completely throw them under the bus, because they're all good players. They're all good kids here, but Purdue needed something that comes from experience tonight, and, you know, it didn't necessarily come from them. So, but this was a fascinating game in the sense that you saw Purdue's ceiling during one half, and you saw its floor in the second half. And, you know, the ceiling was pretty impressive. And, you know, I think getting Eric Hunter back, Eric Hunter was not perfect in this game, but for a guy who was supposed to be out 8 weeks and came back in four, for him to come out and score 11 points and do some pretty positive things for Purdue was a good start. And once Purdue, I think, gets him fully immersed, I think, you know, your guard play is going to improve. Isaiah Thompson did not have his best night tonight, and that's been a common denominator in both of Purdue's losses, is Isaiah Thompson not playing well. But I think Eric Hunter, you know, really raises the ceiling for this team, what it's capable of right now. Again, Jaden Ivey coming back here relatively soon, I would think. You know, this team, you know, has some things going for it. It showed it in the first half because it was really good. And then it showed in the second half just how far it still has to go in terms of growing up, being a more mature team, and the fact that being young and being immature are not necessarily the same thing. Purdue can be a young team. That doesn't mean it has to be an immature team. And Purdue in the second half of this game looked like an immature team, and that's going to be made known to them during what I'm guessing will be an absolute bloodbath of a film session when they get back to town. So again, you know, Purdue has to learn from failure. And as I said earlier, you know, a lot of these guys were part of that Marquette game last year. A lot of these guys were part of a very disappointing season last year. And this sort of thing happens when Purdue was probably a 97% probability to win this game, you know, 1 second into the second half, and probably a 90-something percent probability to win this game with about like 8 minutes to go. And they didn't win this game. And, you know, they've got, I keep saying they've got to learn from this and get better because of it, but they have had a chance to do that now because of last season. And it still didn't occur. So I think that's where, you know, the frustration in this loss really lies. So that's kind of what I got here from Purdue's 58-54 loss to Miami. This has been your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast. It has been brought to you live from my office at home by Follett's Pretty Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, the Chargers Team Remaxability Plus, JFQ Lending, and Gridiron Metalworks. Please, again, if you need sculpted steel, if you need someone to handle your money, if you need someone to lend you money, if you need a house, if you need food, or you need some Purdue apparel or textbooks, please keep all of our sponsors in mind. Thank you very much, everybody, and we'll talk to you again this weekend.